see about 5,000 to 15,000 tracts given out every month. About 100 people get saved in about 2.5 years while we were there. And one guy who was an Assembly of God African national pastor there used to let his wife preach and used to preach from the NIV and spoke in, his wife spoke in tongues, etc. Now he's a King James Bible believer. And, you know, he uses Dr. Ruckman stuff and Gail Ripplinger stuff. And guys believe in dispensation now, eternal security. He no longer lets any woman preach in the pulpit, not even his own wife. And knows that tongues is a biblical language. So a lot of fruit was there. He's done. He's now planted his fifth church. So we saw a lot of fruit in a little bit of time we had there. One of the men there, or a deacon of another Baptist church, and another one trying to design his own gospel tracts, etc. So, you know, a little bit of time we were there. And I, make a long story short, I got stuck in Arizona for about 2 months, and I just couldn't get back on the road. And just through providential circumstances, no money, no meetings, no food, the Lord was trying to get my attention. So while I was out there, I went through a real battle with the Lord. I got real bitter at God. I don't know if any of you know how that is, but I got real mad at God and asked God, what is he trying to teach me? Why don't I have any money for food? Why don't I have any money for diapers? And when you got no money for diapers, I mean, you're literally in a mess, amen. I mean, you're looking at some serious trouble there. I mean, you're in trouble. So I was praying, and the church that we were at, the Lord laid it upon their heart that night. I didn't ask him for nothing to give us $1,000. And it helped us pay off our bills, etc. But we still have more bills. We're over $8,000 in debt. And I met Dr. Gipp out there. When I met Dr. Gipp, I sat down with him, counseled with him. He gave me some good advice. And my pastor, Pastor Scribner, they were trying to get my attention, say, listen, you know, maybe God's not in your calling. And, you know, through providential circumstances, through the counsel of older men, and, of course, through the Word of God, God gave me Scripture, God closed that door. And while I was there, you know, I was still battling with the idea of how God opened the door in Africa and how there's such a need there. And I was trying to ask God, why are you allowing this to happen? And then as the Holy Spirit of God, you know how he speaks in a still small voice and he gives you that one scripture, you know it's him because you don't like to hear it. And he says, be still and know that I am God. And I said, okay, fine. I don't know how you are. God deals with me very roughly. I'm from the East Coast. I'm from Philadelphia. I'm rough individual, but that's how he deals with me. So I said, God, okay, fine. Now what do I do? You know, and God said, you just be still. And I met Dr. Gipp and sat down with him, talked with him, and he gave me some good advice and counsel, and I surrendered into evangelism. And I said, Lord, there's two things you must do. My health is not good. And I said, I developed some really serious health conditions in Africa. I said, if you can just let my health be about 50% better so I can stand in a pulpit for more than 5 minutes without getting ready to pass out. And I said, you take away this debt without me asking. All that debt, over $8,000 in debt, is gone. Within 5 days after I surrendered to evangelism, over $4,000 was gone. So God just took care of all our bills, and God has helped my health tremendously. So now I'm in evangelism. I have some prayer cards in the back. If you grab one, please pray for us. You know, I'm just starting out. I've only been at it for 16, 17 months. Evangelism is a new thing for me, but the Lord's very good. We have meetings booked up off and on until November of 2008. So the Lord's been very, very good, and we've had some more people take us back on for support, some people take us on for support, and I also have some sermons back there for sale, a donation of $3 a CD. If you're interested, I'll meet you in the back later. If you would preach you a sermon tonight, just real quickly, because I got to run down. Now I'm going to know how your pastor feels. I got to make it quick and make a dash down there, amen. If you would turn your Bible to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Let's give you something real quickly. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Pray for us. You know, we need your prayers, and you know, we will pray for this church. I promise you, we will pray for you. And because I know what it's like, and it's getting more and more hard in these last days. The battle's getting more rough, and let's just face it, some good people are falling out of the churches today, people that you would never expect. So we know that we are obviously, there's no outpouring of God's Holy Spirit. There's no great awakening. There's no revival. I mean, I've been in over 200 churches. I don't claim to know it all, but I just don't. We're in the last days. We are in apostasy, and it's not going to get any better. It's going to get worse. I don't mean to put a damper on the Spirit, but I look around and I think about it, and I just say, well, glory to God. Let's get it on. Let's get it over with. Let the show roll. It doesn't bother me any because I know I'm saved and I know the Lord's coming back, and that's all I have to look forward to in reality. That's it. And if you would, turn your Bible to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I'm just going to read you a verse here. In verse 16, short, take you probably, 2 minutes to memorize it? Maybe 5 minutes if you've been burned out with drugs. And verse 16, it says, rejoice evermore. Very, very easy verse, right, to quote. But it's a short but powerful verse. And this is a short verse, but we must face the fact tonight or this afternoon. But it's a very hard verse to live at times. Rejoice evermore. Paul says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And one man said, the secret of joy is not to wait until you feel happy, but to rise by an act of faith out of depression, which is dragging you down, and begin to praise God as an act of choice. You know, it's easy to lose your joy if you're honest. It's easy to become a bitter Christian. And you know what? I've seen some Christians, and some of them are the most miserable people on the face of this planet. Some of you laugh more. Some of you enjoy life more before you get saved. Now that you're saved. It's not a sin to laugh. It's not a sin to smile. It's not a sin to have a good sense of humor. And you know, I just see Christians, and they're just plain bitter. And most Christians tonight, if they would be honest with themselves, they would admit that they lost their joy. They don't have the joy of the Lord, which is their strength. I'm going to ask you tonight, are you going through the motions of the Christian life? Have you ever been there before? You know, read, pray. It's like a Catholic mentality. Sit, kneel, stand, you know, the whole thing, right? And you just go through the routine. You got to read the Bible, got to pray and all that. Now I'm Mr. Spiritual. You got the S on your, you know, on your shirt and all that. But that ain't the way it works. Does a Christian life seem more of a burden than a blessing at times? You been there? Are you living a defeated Christian life? Are you joyful today or are you a miserable Christian? You know, God does not want you to be miserable today. Now, I'm not a gospel prosperity guy. I am definitely not a Joel Osteen guy. But God does love you. Amen. And God does care. And God does not want to see you walking around the sad face, always feeling sorry for yourself, always being depressed and all that. So how can you get back the joy you have lost? That's what we're going to share with you this afternoon. Let's pray. And Father in heaven, I thank you for an opportunity to be here. I thank you for the good spirit. I thank you, Lord, for the privilege, Lord, I have to preach your word. And God, I pray this sermon to be a blessing, God. You gave me this sermon, Lord. You pressed it upon my heart. And I do pray, God, that it be a real blessing to your people, God. I pray it be a real encouragement, Lord. And I pray, God, you help some people to get over their bitterness, Lord, and get back the joy they've lost. And I pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, let's look at the first thing real quickly. Look at 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. We're going to do a little jumping around in the Bible. Amen. 1 John chapter 1. First thing I want to say, in order to get your joy back, is number one, the Scriptures will give you joy. The Scriptures will give you joy. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 4, he says, and these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. You know what? It's amazing how some Christians come for counseling, need help, need advice. And then you ask them, have you ever read your Bible? Do you read your Bible? And they said, well, no. You know, this book will absolutely do nothing for you, even if you're a King James Bible, even premillennial, fundamental, independent Baptist. This book will still do nothing for you if it sits on your shelf and collects dust. You got to put the Word of God in your heart every day. And you know, even in good King James Bible, even churches like this, there are still people who don't read their Bible every day. And they can skip by and get along because their pastor feeds them well. You need to find out what this book says. Don't become pastor dependent, become God dependent, become Bible dependent. You need to find out what this book says. Do you read your Bible every day? What a privilege it is to have the Bible and the right Bible and the King James Bible. But why is it some of you never open your Bible? Why is it some of you never even bring your Bible to church? Unless you got the whole book memorized, you should be bringing your Bible to church. Amen? But why is it? Why has some Christians got so much dust on it they can write damnation in the front cover? Why is it some Christians can't find their Bible on Sunday morning? It's the same place you put it last Sunday, Christian. Amen. 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 Hey, do you remember what you read today? I'm not going to ask you to call out somebody. Well, what would you do if I did? I'm not going to, but what would you do? Would you get nervous or think, man, what did I read today? Amen. Listen, it doesn't matter how many chapters you read a day. And I'm not against reading so much if that's what God's laid upon your heart. Well, we got a bunch of guys thinking, well, if you read this much and you do this much, you do that, then you're spiritual. You're not spiritual. You could read about 10 chapters a day and still not be spiritual. You could read 10 chapters a day and still have no joy. But I mean, how many of you even remember what you read today? Don't do that to me. Don't ask me, amen. That's what matters. It's not how much you read, but it's what you're doing with what you read. That'll give you joy. Did you ever stop to think that no one else ever wrote a book on the face of this planet so that your joy may be full? No one ever wrote a book for you that your joy may be full. Now, people write books all the time so that the wallet may be full. But God wrote this book for you so that your joy may be full. You know what memorizing this book will do? It'll produce more joy in your life during trying times than you have now. I wonder how many of you could quote one chapter. Or at least try to quote one chapter. I say, preacher, I just ain't got the time. Well, you know some commercials and songs they sing and stuff in Walmart and, you know, the songs you hear. You know the stuff you can memorize. You just got your priorities wrong. They're not straight. How many of you put this word of God in your heart? There's going to come a time where you're not going to have your Bible no more. I hope you know that. That just ain't a play. It's going to be reality one day for us people. Do you not understand that? Do you not realize that? If you're not reading a Bible a day and spending time in it, your joy will not be full. If you're not applying God's promises to your heart, then your joy will not be full. You know what David got joy from God's words. I wonder how many of you could sit down if I said, write me over 170 sentences on why the Word of God brings you joy. Could you do it? You say, well, David, did I understand under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, but could you do it? I ain't gonna lie to you people. I could maybe 10, maybe 20 that wouldn't repeat themselves. And this guy wrote over 170 verses saying this: I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. Thy testimonies have been taken as inheritance forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. Could you do that? Can you honestly say this book produces joy in your heart and life? You know what Jeremiah got? Jeremiah got joy from God's words, even though he was preaching in a time of apostasy, just like the nation of America, amen? And with these false prophets and fornicators and idolaters and adulterers and running to and fro and saying, oh, Lord, and all that. That's exactly America right now. But you know what Jeremiah got in Jeremiah chapter 15, verse 16? He said, thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart, for I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. Can you say that? D.L. Moody said, now Christians should look for joy in the word and not in the world. Some of you are running around trying to buy this and trying to buy that. You're still miserable. Why aren't you happy with your 61-inch surround sound TV system? Just to watch CNN, by the way, right? Amen. Everybody just gets it for the TV and golf or something, right? Amen. Hey, the Bible will remove all depression and give you great joy if you spend time in it. You don't need Prozac and Zoloft. You need Roloff. Amen. You need the Word of God. Amen. Amen. Read the Bible every day and it'll give you back the joy you lost. I wonder how many of you read your Bible every day. Look at Luke chapter 15 real quickly. The second thing I want to say. The scriptures will give you joy. Look at Luke chapter 15. Look at Luke chapter 15 and we'll read verse 7 and verse 10. Luke chapter 15 verse 7. He says, I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Verse 10. Likewise I say unto you, now watch this, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repent. Now, I've heard many people quote this and misquote this and misteach this. It does not say the angels are rejoicing. Did you get that? People say, oh, there's much joy in heaven. The angels are rejoicing. No. There's rejoicing in the presence of the angels. There's somebody shouting up there. There's someone saying, hallelujah. There's one saying, another one has come home. Who? God. God's excited about seeing sinners get saved. That's the presence of joy among the angels, not the angels themselves. And when you look at that, you'll never know the joy of leading someone to Christ. Soul winning, number two, soul winning will give you joy. What a blessing it is to see people get saved. And if there's joy in heaven over sinners getting saved, then it will no doubt bring you joy on earth when seeing people get saved. Winning souls will definitely give you your joy back. And when you feel like quitting, and when you feel like throwing in the towel, giving up and all that, you know what you need to do? Go door knocking. Every time I went door knock when I was depressed, it lifted me up. Every time I went street preaching and I felt like quitting, it lifted me up. Man, it encouraged me. It made me want to keep going because I had an opportunity to either lead someone to the Lord that day or plant some seed. Hey, doesn't it excite you to see sinners get saved when you door knock? Doesn't it excite you to see sinners get saved in church? Doesn't it excite you to see sinners get saved on the streets when you street preach and pass out tracts? I mean, isn't it a blessing to personally lead someone to Christ? Isn't it a blessing to know that you personally had a part in turning a soul from hell? James chapter 5, he says, brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one converts him, let him know that he which converted the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. I mean, seeing someone get saved, man, and turn from their wicked ways and get in church and cut their hair and dress right and live for God and get rid of their music and watch what they watch on TV, that is exciting. Not only see them get saved, they start serving God and go to a mission field and do something for His glory. That's good, people. And to know that you had a part in that. I think of a guy in the army who used to get drunk all the time. Every time he got drunk, he wanted to kill himself. The most depressing guy to be around. And literally, I mean, what was really wild is that his fiancée, who we love very much, was killed by a drunk driver. You think he learned a lesson, right? And I got witnessing this guy, man, this guy got saved. You know what this guy did? The guy got saved and he started passing out tracts all over the army post, which is totally forbidden, but he did it anyway. He started getting on fire for God. Now he's actively serving the Lord in a church in Kansas City, Florida, and living for God. You say, what is that? That's a blessing. I see some guys get saved in South Africa now called to preach and serving God and winning people. That is a blessing to see fruit. Like John said, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. You know, it is great to see sinners on their way rejoicing after they get saved. You say, well, they never came to our church, but praise God, they're never going to hell. I think about Philip, the evangelist, who God told to go down to a desert place. In the midst of a revival, he went there, he obeyed the Lord, and he saw a man on a chariot, a black man, and the Lord says, go up to that man, and he was sensitive to the Holy Spirit of God. And he goes up there and says, understandest thou what thou readest? And that Hamite said, how can I except some man should guide me? And you know what? He led that man to the Lord. And you know what it says? When they got up out of the water, and when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord called away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he, the eunuch, went on his way rejoicing. What a blessing. Hey, did you know that if you win souls, you'll one day get a crown? You know what that crown is called in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 19 to 20? For what is our hope or joy or crown or rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ that is coming? He says, for ye are our glory and joy. Hey, you know what? Some of you sacrificially give, praise God. Some of you give sacrificially to support missionaries. What a blessing. But you know what? You say, well, I don't know. I can't do it. I can't afford it. How can we do it? But you know what? When you got some family, like Brother Barwell I graduated with, some people that come up to you from the Ukraine you never met, say, hey, thanks for supporting him. Why? Because I got saved, and my wife got saved, and my kids got saved, and my grandparents got saved, and I was called. You see what I'm saying? That's what's going to be bringing you joy in your heart up there. To see lost sinners that you supported missionaries on a mission field for get saved and trust Christ as their Savior and turn from their wicked ways. R.A. Torrey said, there is few joys this side of heaven as great as the joy of bringing someone else to Christ. And I can testify to that. To be the soul, to be a soul winner will bring you one of the greatest joys in the world. I'm going to ask you tonight, do you pass out tracts? I understand the Hiles crowd. I'm very familiar with those. I understand they beat on every door and you got to win, fit so many people to Christ a week or year. I understand all that. But you know what? It still should not keep you from being a soul winner. Amen? You should be actively trying to win someone to Christ. Try to do your best. Pass out gospel tracts. Always carry them on you. You know, I've been in some churches where the tract rack is so outdated and the tracts look like they're curled toenails on an 85-year-old person, and they're all rolled up, or they look like wood shavings, you know what I mean? How they're all curled up into a ball, or they're yellow stained, or water stained, or water all the way around, and some of them look like parchments from the Old Testament scrolls of Isaiah. You know why? Those churches like that are dying churches. They're not soul winning. You know, to have someone come to church with you and see them come down the aisle and get saved, don't tell me that's going to make you depressed. You're not going to go, oh, man, he got saved. Oh, man. You're going to be shouting. You're going to be praising God. Hey, do you personally know the joy of leading someone to Christ? Will someone be in heaven tonight as a result of your witness? Or will someone go to hell as a result of your lack of witness? Talk about joy. Number three. Look at Psalm chapter 16. Psalm chapter 16. The scriptures can produce joy. Soul winning can give you joy. Number three, you can get joy in supplication. Look at Psalm chapter 16, verse 11. David says, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. As thy, at thy right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. You know, those who seek the Lord in prayer have joy. And you know what the Lord told you to do is pray. Pray. He says in John chapter 16, verse 24, ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. Maybe your joy is not full today because you're not spending enough time in prayer. I can't understand how someone says they're saved, born again, washed in the blood, on their way to heaven, never, ever come to prayer meeting. And then the same people come up to me in South Africa and say, well, we're praying for you. I'm thinking, you don't pray. Don't tell me you're praying for me. You don't come to prayer meeting. You know what? There's been times I didn't want to go to prayer meeting. There's been times I didn't care. But you know what? Every time I went to prayer meeting, I was glad I went, and it gave me joy. Getting around some brethren and praying with them in Bible school and PBI, that was a blessing, man. That encouraged me. That kept me going. You know what a lack of prayer will do? A lack of prayer will take away your joy. It'll rob you of your joy. You need to fellowship more with God than man. Look, I don't mind fellowshipping, but you know, I get tired of people after a while. You say, you're not, well, that's why I'm not a pastor. Amen. An evangelist will come in, everybody likes you, say goodbye, how you doing? Good. Well, thank God. Amen. I'm on my way. Amen. But you know what? I mean, really, I mean, man will discourage you. Man will depress you sometimes. Oh, everything's bad. Everything's horrible. And all that, man. You know, I got to get around. I got to stay away from people like that. There's always negative. And all. Man, you may want to jump off a cliff or something, man. I can't handle that. But you know what? You spend time with God in prayer, you know what it'll do to produce more joy in your life than you got now. And the more you spend time with God in prayer, the more it'll encourage you. It'll bring you great joy to know God and talk to God and love God and hear God talk to you. Just 30 minutes a day in prayer will produce more joy in your life than you got now. Just 30 minutes a day in prayer. You say, I don't have time. Yes, you do. If you got to drive 15 minutes to work, turn off the radio. I was going to say turn off the TV, but they're watching that too in cars, amen? But turn off the radio, and you got 15 minutes there and 15 minutes on the way back. You say, 30 minutes a day in prayer is a long time. No, Christ said, what could you not watch with me? 1 hour. What the God, I mean, we got all these programs and all these things going on to get people in church. You know what we need to do? Just get back to prayer. Prayer. Prayer moves the hand of God that moves the world. How much time you spend in prayer will determine how much joy you have. Do you enjoy praying? Or do you look at it as a waste of time? Do you look at it as boring? Have you experienced the joy of answered prayer? Can you say, yes, I prayed and God did this, and it was all the way possible, and he did, glory to God. Can you do that? And unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Bible says in 1 John chapter 3, verse 22, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. It'll bring you great joy, I'm going to tell you right now, to know that God answers your prayers, that God wants to hear your prayers because God does love you. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. It should bring you joy to know that you can go to God anytime. And that he'll bow down his ear. And that he'll take out the time. And that he'll listen to you because he cares. That should bring you joy. You can ask the Lord to give you back the joy you lost. What you got to do is just be honest. Just be honest in prayer and say, Lord, I lost the joy. I ain't happy, Lord. I put on a fake Ken and Barbie doll smile. You know this smile. Amen. See, some of you think you got people, you got preachers fooled. We see right through you. We just pray for you. Amen. We go, man, that brother's hurt, man. Help him. Hey, come on. Amen. Some of you, it's been a while since you smiled. If you smile, your face will crack. Amen. Amen. Look at John chapter 16. Hey, life's tough enough. Don't lose your sense of humor. Amen. John chapter 16. Look at verse 22. What else can produce joy? What else can give you your joy? Number 4. John chapter 16. Look at verse 22. And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. I'll tell you the second thing, the fourth thing that will produce joy in your heart is the second coming. Just looking for the Lord Jesus Christ to come back. This alone should give you great joy. Beloved, now we the sons of God, it doth not yet appear who we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? I'm looking forward to the Lord's return. It won't be long when I hear the trumpet blow. It can literally be any second now. It can happen right now. That's fine with me. When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. But a question for you is, are you on the roll call? I'll hear my name, and those blessed words say to me, come up hither. I'll see the dead in Christ rise first. I'll see some saved family members and friends up in the air. But most of all, I'll see Jesus Christ. I'm looking forward to that. You ever think about that song, On an Unclouded Day? It's one of the most biblically incorrect songs you could ever sing. It ain't on an unclouded day. I'm going to meet him in the clouds. Amen. Amen. Thank God. I'm going to be there. It brings me great joy to know of the Lord's soon return to get me. I'm looking for the Lord's return. Are you? Are you looking for it? Are you ending your prayers and saying your prayer? When's the last time you even prayed? Even so, come Lord Jesus. Well, you don't understand, preacher, I'm busy. Well, I'm pretty busy myself. 50,000 miles a year, I ain't sitting around. Well, I am sitting around, amen. I'm sitting and driving, amen. Amen. But it brings me great joy to know that I'll be given a new body that will never grow old. Thank God, no more Rice Krispies and Snap, Crackle, Pop every morning when I get out of bed. Thank God for that. No more gray hair, premature gray. Listen, I'll never be sick again. No more flu. Boy, that'll knock you down, man. You don't ever shout and praise God when you got the flu, amen? I mean, the really bad flu, if you know what I mean, amen? But it brings me great joy to know that I'll never sin again. To know that I'll never, ever do something wrong. Know that I'll never, ever say something wrong. To know that I'll never think something wrong. To never, ever do something wrong again. That's great, man. It brings me great joy to know that I'll never be left behind. You know, I got people saying, well, you can lose your salvation. I was dealing with a guy one time. I said, listen, you can't lose. He says, yes, you can. I said, look, when the Lord comes back to get me, I'm out of here. He said, you can lose. I said, listen, if you want to stay behind, that's your choice. I said, when he comes, I'm gone. You can tell me how it was. Amen. I'm not going to stay around and argue with people like that. You really want to go through that bad? Help yourself. I don't want to. I'm not man enough. Amen. Something about starving there and torture in between and concentration camp. That doesn't sound too pleasing to me. Hey, it brings me great joy to know that I'll be given a mansion. Man, thank God, man. I live in and out of hotels and prophet chambers and all that, man. Man, thank God I can just move in. I don't have to leave. I know my itinerary. I'm there. And no one else can move in. And no one can breach my contract. And there's no roaches and there's no rats and there's no nothing nasty and nothing. It's clean, perfect, and pure. That brings me joy. Hey, D.L. Moody said this, I have felt like working three times as hard ever since I came to understand that my Lord was coming back again. You say, preacher, you don't understand what I'm going through. No, I don't. You say, preacher, it's hard. I understand. You say, preacher, I don't know if I can keep going like this. Just look up. Look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. People, don't lose hope. Don't lose faith. Don't bail out. Don't jump ship. Even though others are falling away, it is the falling away. But don't live your Christian life in misery. Don't leave it depressed and defeated. I wonder how many teenagers are out in the world today when they're 18 years old because of their parents' lack of joy. Hey, parents, if they don't see you have any joy, why should they stay around? If they don't see you getting excited about the scriptures and excited about the Lord coming back and excited about prayer and excited about soul winning, what's in it for them? You with me? If you're looking for his soon return, you know what it'll do? It'll give you joy knowing that it could be at any moment. Are you also looking for his soon return? And the last thing I want to say, and I'm done, look at Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. And I'm done. Last thing I want to say is look at Luke chapter 10, verse 20. Luke chapter 10, verse 20. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Last thing I want to say is that salvation produces joy. Hey, are you glad to say it? Say amen. I mean, listen, there's joy in salvation. It says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, whom having not seen ye love, in whom though ye now see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. I mean, doesn't it bring you great joy to know in your heart that once you're saved, once you're born again, once the Spirit of God moves inside of you, once you're circumcised with that circumcision made without hands, you become the temple of the Holy Ghost. You're sealed to the day of redemption. Doesn't that bring you great joy to know that you'll never, ever lose your salvation? Thank God for that ain't a Baptist doctrine, eternal security. It's Bible doctrine. Thank God there's no whiteout in heaven. Amen. Thank God, God. I'm so glad when I'm up there, God won't say, oh, I made a mistake. I overlooked in the books. There was a hardware drive problem. Your name's not really in there. By the way, I'll go to hell. Boy, thank God he ain't ever going to do that. You'll never be blotted out of the Lamb's book of life. Bible says in 1 John chapter 2, verse 25, and this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. These things that are written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. I'm glad for that. I'm glad I'm saved forever, and that I'm in his hand, and no man's able to pluck me out of the Father's hand. Not only am I in his hand, I'm part of his hand, I'm bone of his bone, I'm flesh of his flesh, I'm in him, and he's in me, the hope of glory. I thank God for that. I want to ask you, is your name written down in the Lamb's book of life? Is it? You better know what you did. You got a bunch of people running around smoking and drinking and messing with pornography and cursing and lying and dipping and beating the wife and all, and they're all saved. I don't think so. That's not the Christianity I know of the Bible. Well, I prayed a prayer. What did you pray? I prayed some preacher and I felt different. I felt kind of fuzzy. All right, don't get around me then. Amen. I don't want no fuzzy guy around me. Amen. You know what Hannah said? I know it's Old Testament. Bear with me. I know you're all dispensational. So am I. But let me spiritually apply it. My mouth is enlarged over my enemies because I rejoice in thy salvation. David said in Psalm chapter 9, verse 14, I will rejoice in thy salvation. Habakkuk said in chapter 3, verse 18, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Taste for yourself and you will say, none other name for me. There's love and light and lasting joy. Lord Jesus found in thee. A little girl in a mission school in India sang all the day as she went about her task. When asked why she was so happy, she said, I have been redeemed from idolatry. And you could never know what that means. I am at liberty. I think what John says, and Jesus Christ says in John chapter 8, verse 32 and 36, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. In John chapter 10, the Lord says in verse 10, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. True joy tonight comes from knowing the Lord as your personal Savior, and that you're saved for sure. Listen, I mean, how can you rejoice in your salvation if you always doubt it? Listen, I understand the devil comes in there. Yea, hath God said. I know him. I've met him a few times, ran into him. And you know what? If you always doubt your salvation, I mean, always struggle with it, there's something not right. You shouldn't always doubt it. Well, did I really pray? I was talking to a guy one time, and he said, yeah, I'm saved. He goes, hey, Dad, when did I get saved? He was in his 20s. He said, Dad says, oh, when he was 10? He goes, yeah, when I was 10. Yeah, man. So you trying to talk about their salvation? No, but I sure enough ain't going to talk somebody into their salvation. Come on. Yeah, you believe you're a sinner, right? They can't say nothing. They ain't get a chance to answer yet. You believe you're a sinner, right? You believe you're going to hell, right? Come on, pray with me. Then the guy's never there. You go door knocking. You try to bring him. He doesn't want to talk to you. He hates your guts. You got the dog out in the front yard, shotgun. I mean, tells you he's not truly saved then. Amen. Amen. Are you saved? If not, why not get it settled right now? You'll never know the joy of getting saved until you trust Christ as your personal Savior. You know what Paul said in Romans chapter 5, verse 11? But we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Paul had joy because he had received the atonement, the payment for his sins. Listen, people, thank God you don't know my past. You don't need to know my past, and there's no point in bringing it up because under the blood. But thank God I will never have to give an account of my past because all under the blood. Will you receive the payment for your sins right now? You know, why don't you stop playing around? Get saved. Get in. Get committed. Tomorrow may be too late. Why don't you come and get saved while you have the chance? You say, preacher, I've heard this before. That's the problem. You're either gospel converted or gospel hardened. It's your choice. So I don't know. I'm not too sure. Get it settled. Well, ain't nobody going to make fun of you here. And if they do, somebody will beat him up. Amen. Brother Garcia will beat him up. Amen. Amen. He's quiet type. You got to watch out for those guys. Amen. But you know what, man? God dealt with your heart. You know about some joy in your area. Maybe you need to get back in the Bible. Maybe you need to rejoice in seeing souls get saved. Maybe you need to get your joy back in supplication. Maybe you need to get your joy back in looking for second coming. Maybe you just need to get your joy from getting saved. Or maybe you need to thank God for your salvation. Would you bow your head? Would you close your eyes? Would you bow your head? Close your eyes, please. No one looking around. If you would close your eyes. God spoke to your heart. The scriptures will give you joy. Are you reading your Bible? Soul winning will give you joy. I wonder how many of you are really trying to win people to Christ. I'm not saying you got to win somebody every week to be spiritual. I'm just saying, are you at least trying? Are you winning souls? You know, there's joy in supplication. I wonder if some of you need to pray a little more. Would you pray a little more? Say, God, please help me to pray a little more. Are you spending time in prayer every day like you should? Are you praying like you should? How about looking for the second coming? Are you looking for his second coming? Do you want him to come? Are you looking for his soon return? And the last thing I want to say is this. Salvation produces joy. Are you saved? Now look, I'm not into this. Get ahead and pray in your pew and leave and with your head down. Amen. That's not what it's about. The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth in him should not be ashamed. I'm going to ask you, if you're not saved, would you come forward right now? Would you come forward as your pastor comes? Would you come forward? You say, preacher, I'm embarrassed. Well, you know what? We'll all know you were lost at the great white throne judgment. So you have a choice to make. You can come forward right now and ask Christ to save you before it's too late. Pastor.
Okay, while our heads bowed, eyes closed, piano plays. If you need to use your altar, it's open. The play that we're going to be having this week is about tribulation that a lady went through in her life. Be quite honest with you, I hope it's not a prophetic play for this country, but if you see what's going around in this country, we are in a very similar climate that Germany was in the 1930s. The ones at the top are going to completely and absolutely ruin our currency, and you may not know it, but there are laws or bogus laws already in place through the Military Commission Act that if some official looked at you and say you're an enemy combatant, they can throw you in jail and you will not get out. This country is in a hot box. And I'm not saying that to scare anybody, but boy, it bothers me where this country is heading. We know the Bible teaches a rapture and that we will be raptured out before the tribulation, but that doesn't teach that the trouble of the tribulation can start before the trib. Americans have deceived themselves into thinking that this country is going to live forever. Germans were no different. Japanese were no different than you and I. This country can go down the tubes and be conquered by a tyrant like any country can. And we have people in high positions in this country that are speaking the same words. They are not original people. They are speaking the same words that they were speaking in Germany under Hitler's command. Hitler talked about the homeland, the Dutch land. What do we have in our country? Something called the Homeland Security. Homeland, where did that come from? I pray to God that something like that won't happen in this country, but God is all-knowing and wise. And so we just need to thank God for the blessings we have and to be alert and vigilant to what could happen. The climate that is already set up. God could thwart it, or God could allow it to go through. Lord, I do pray you'd help us to be alert, be vigilant, to be alert to what's going on in this country. And Lord, I do pray you'd help us to be faithful to you, to be instant in season and out of season. And Lord, I pray you'd help us to know the future by knowing the past. And people in high places are not original. They often repeat things over and over. And it's just because we, the people, Bible believers, have failed to remember history also. And Lord, I pray you'd help us to do our part to pray for those who are in authority so that we might lead a quiet and peaceful life. But if that is not what you have planned for this country, help us by thy grace to be faithful. And Lord, I just pray that you'd have mercy. We have Americans who are so arrogant where they are demanding you to bless America. Oh God, bless America. Lord, I'm asking for your mercy to somehow, some way pardon this country. And if you choose not to, I pray you'd help us to be faithful until we see you face to face. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Lord bless you.